Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. This evening we'll be looking at John 16, verses 16 through 33. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, "What is this he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father?" They said, therefore, "What is this that he says? A little while? We do not know what he is saying." Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming that I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from him. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said to him, "See, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God." And Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Heavenly Father, we pray to you and we ask, Lord, that you would bless this time we have here together. As we have sung your word, as we pray to you, as we hear your word read and preached, Lord, we ask that you would bless all of this by your Spirit. That, Lord, you would build us up in the faith. Cause us, Lord, to love you more, to believe in you more, to trust you more in every area of our lives. But, Lord, most of all, we ask for joy in the midst of our affliction. Help us to focus on the risen Jesus Christ, in which this scripture points us, to which the scripture points us. And we ask, Lord, that you would do all these things for the glory of your name, the glory of your Son, and the glory of your Spirit. We ask that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Through many dangers, toils, and snares have I already come, John Newton wrote whenever he was penning his hymn, Amazing Grace. And whenever he was writing those things, no doubt he had in mind the unique trials and afflictions that he experienced in his own life, his difficulties and the many storms he faced as a slave ship captain traversing the seas during deadly storms and deadly sicknesses upon the ship. Of course, he probably referred to the time where he himself was a slave under an owner in Africa. Maybe you didn't know that he spent time imprisoned by a slave owner in Africa as a slave himself before he went on to be a slave owner himself. But many unique things that he probably had in mind writing about his own difficulties in this life. And yet, when he writes these things, you and I can resonate to that phrase, many dangers, toils, and snares have I already come. And we can resonate with those that language because in our own lives we experience dangers, toils, and snares. We live in a fallen, broken world, in a world in which we experience anguish and grief and sorrow. These things aren't surprises to us. They come into our lives often, and many times they come very hard upon us. And sometimes we don't know what to do with ourselves when they come. In our passage this evening, Jesus acknowledges that sorrow will come into the lives of the disciples. In the last several chapters of this gospel, Jesus has been preparing his disciples for his departure. Jesus knows very clearly that he is about to die, that he will be crucified for the sins of the world and be buried in the grave. And he knows the effect that this will have on the hearts of his people, specifically these disciples. And he's trying to prepare them for that event, how to deal with that event, but also to look beyond that and see what is to come after that, the much greater reality of the gospel promises. First and foremost, the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And what he wants to do this evening, or what he wants to do in this passage, and what he wants to do for you and I this evening, is to give us joy in our sorrow. Jesus knows sorrow is coming into the lives of the disciples. And Jesus knows that sorrow comes into your life as well. But Jesus doesn't want you to stay there in your sorrow. But he wants you to see that joy is a reality, that joy is possible. And so, brothers and sisters, the main point this evening is, despite the sorrows of this life, find joy in the resurrected Jesus. Despite the sorrows in this life, find joy in the resurrected Jesus. Well, it's no question in your mind, I imagine, that sorrow is very much a reality in this life, isn't it? In verse 16, Jesus again confronts his disciples with the truth that he is leaving them. In a little while, he says, he'll be gone. The next day, as a matter of fact. And even though the disciples don't fully realize what this means, and this truth hasn't fully impacted them yet, Jesus knows that this will break them. And this will fill their hearts with sorrow, so much so that they are going to fall apart with fear. Jesus tells them that this will happen in verse 32. He says to them, "Indeed, an hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and you will leave me alone." In verse 20, he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and yet you will be sorrowful." A very incredibly difficult time is coming upon the disciples. A difficult time in their lives. And Jesus likens this sorrow that they will experience to a woman who is in labor. Verse 21, you can see him doing this. Now, have you ever seen a woman in labor? Have you ever been a woman in labor? I've been in the labor and delivery room with my wife several times and have seen a woman in labor, and I guarantee you it is no laughing matter. And yet you kind of chuckle a little bit. If you were to chuckle in the labor room, you would find out very quickly it's not a chuckling or laughing matter. Your wife would let you know quickly. It's not a happy time. It's not a joyful time. It's a very difficult time. There's lots of pain. Lots of difficulty. Pain and difficulty are intense. They're right there in front of you. Everything else doesn't matter. It's all about the turmoil and the anguish of this moment. It's right there. You can't escape it when it comes upon you. And there's even lots of despair. Perhaps there were times whenever you were standing in the labor and delivery room. I know it was the case for Danielle where she said to me, "I can't do this anymore." And I thought, I didn't say this, of course, don't really have a choice. it's the baby's coming anyway. But there was a real sense of, I'm exhausted. I'm so overwhelmed with the pain. I'm so overwhelmed with the difficulty. I can't do this anymore. some women pass out. I know this has been the experience of some in our congregation. It's so overwhelming. I can't do this anymore. The feeling of being overwhelmed. This is how things were going to be with the disciples, for them. And I wonder if that's how things are in your lives as well. If you have this sense of being overwhelmed with life. Have there ever been times in your life when you felt completely overwhelmed? When the pain or difficulty of a circumstance or a number of circumstances is all consuming to you? That no matter what's going on around you, your trouble constantly fills your mind. A relationship that has soured or is falling apart, turning hostile. Medical problems that are consuming your time, your money, your energy, and feel like they're consuming you. Trouble or anxiety from work that's making you sick or turning you into a different person. The death of a dear friend or family member. Overwhelming school workload. Perhaps a stalker whose purpose is to make your life to be filled with fear and difficulty. A marriage that is strained, failing, or has fallen apart, or whatever else it might be. Maybe you're overwhelmed right now. And anxiety and sorrow and despair are flooding into your heart, and you feel like you're drowning. It's real, isn't it? Maybe you feel like you can't escape. And Jesus knew that this was going to be the disciples' experience. That's what they would face. And the world around them, it was going to rejoice at the cause of their sorrow, at the death of Jesus Christ. And even though the world may not be rejoicing at your suffering, or at your sorrow, or at your affliction, or whatever's causing it, it seems to hurt just as bad, however, that the world just continues to go on around you, business as usual, as if there was nothing happening in your life at all. Well, you suffer alone, experience the difficulty alone, and fall in despair alone while the world just walks on by. It's very difficult to live like this. Maybe you've experienced these times of sorrow in your life, but if you haven't, maybe you just haven't lived long enough yet. We live in a fallen world. Sorrow will come. Its sorrow is very much a reality. It's very much a reality, but what we need to see is that joy is too. Joy is very much a reality as well. Look again at verse 20. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Jesus promises his disciples that their sorrow will not be complete. It will not be final. It will not entirely overtake them. But they will emerge from it, like the earth emerging from the darkness of night when the sun rises upon it. Jesus tells them that their sorrow will come to an end, and they will experience joy. Again, we have this illustration Jesus gives us of the woman in labor. When the woman's in labor, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for a joy that a human being has been born into the world. All the pain and the agony of that woman experiencing labor, the suffering that fills and consumes her mind, is all at once replaced by something else. When she beholds her baby, the joy of having that child consumes her every thought now. Her heart is transfixed upon the beautiful human being that is her child. Everything else is pushed aside. Sorrow is replaced with joy. And this replacement of sorrow with joy is something that Jesus promises his disciples. It's something he affirms as a reality for them. And it's something that you and I need to see and we need to believe. Because sometimes in our lives, things can become so difficult. Sorrow can become so deep. Anguish can become so dark and so real that it seems as if you can never experience joy again. That it's not possible to have joy in your life. Maybe you're going through that right now. that you don't ever think you could have joy again because of what you have been experiencing. Will I ever be happy again? Will I ever feel peace in my heart again? Will I ever rejoice in anything ever again? Brothers and sisters, in this life, you will have sorrow. But Jesus says joy is possible. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. What great hope there is in Jesus. What great hope there is for joy in your sorrow. What is this source of joy of which Jesus speaks? Where is this joy for the disciples? What is to be the source of joy for you and for me? Well, look at what Jesus says again in verse 16. A little while and you will not see me. And again, in a little while, you will see me because I go to the Father. This joy comes from the reality of the gospel. The reality mainly of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Jesus summarizes right there what's going to happen to him. He will face death, but he will rise again. And in the resurrection of Jesus is our joy. And what Jesus does in this passage is he directs the minds of the disciples and of you and me to four truths resulting from the resurrection. Four truths resulting from the gospel that turns sorrow into joy. And the first one I want you to see is in verse 16 again. Because of the gospel, because of the resurrection, you see Jesus. After this crucifixion, sorrow will fill the hearts of the disciples. But on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, and they saw the face of Jesus again. They saw the face of their master. They saw the face of their friend again. They saw the face of their Savior before their eyes. What joy must have filled their heart to see Jesus Christ again. I want you to imagine what would happen if Andy woke up tomorrow morning and he had a knock on his front door. And he went to his door and he opened up the door and he saw John Dodgen standing there. Whole, alive, no cancer. Aside from the absolute shock Andy would be experiencing, I can't imagine the immense joy that he would have in seeing his dear friend again who had died. Imagine if you saw your loved ones in Christ again who have passed away. A parent, a brother, a sister, a son. What if you were to see their face again right now? How much joy would fill your heart? That would be the case for the disciples. They would see Jesus again. But we have the promise, because of the resurrection, that we will see our loved ones again in glory. Those who have died in Jesus Christ. When you arrive in the shores of heaven and you enter in, you will see those who have gone on before you. Those who have passed on in Jesus Christ. And your heart will be filled with joy. But it won't linger there long. Because your eyes will turn and your eyes will see Jesus. The far surpassing joy. The far surpassing beauty. The face of your Savior. The face of your Redeemer. There in front of you, welcoming you home. What joy that will be for you. Brothers and sisters, let that joy fill your hearts now. In your sorrow, know that you will see Jesus face to face because the Lord God has raised him from the dead and he will raise you as well. In your sorrow, know the joy that you will see Jesus again. Well, secondly, we can have joy because of the gospel. You have direct access to the Father in prayer. Look at verses 23 and following. In that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Verse 26. In that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say that I shall pray to the Father for you. While Jesus was on the earth, the disciples had no need to ask the Father for anything because they had the Son right there with them. They could ask Jesus whatever it is they desired, whatever it is they needed. They could turn to the Son and ask. But when Jesus is resurrected, they won't ask him anything anymore. But instead, Jesus says they will go straight to the Father in prayer. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, he has opened up a new and living way for them, for us, that we can enter into the throne room of grace and lay our petitions before the Father. And how we take that for granted. You realize that right now we could just stop everything we're doing, close our eyes and lift our hearts to heaven and pray to the Creator of the universe right now. You could do that right now. The one who is sustaining everything by the word of his power. You can speak directly to him. You can take your petitions to him, your supplications to him, your praises to him. Because what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead and opened up that new and living way. You and I don't need to go to some priest to have our prayers offered up for us or on our behalf. And believe it or not, we don't even need to go to Jesus to have him act as some sort of intermediary to get our prayers to God. We pray in Jesus' name, in his authority. But Jesus says, you don't come to me and I pray for you, but you pray to the Father in my name. I won't pray for you in that regard. Jesus still sits at the right hand of God the Father and makes intercession for you. He prays about you and for you, but he doesn't minister your prayers through him to the Father, as if you can't go into the throne room yourself. But Jesus has given you access to the Father himself. And what joy that can be for you in your sorrow, in your difficulty, in your despair, that all you have to do is pray to your Heavenly Father. So in your sorrow, know that you have access to your Father in prayer. Thirdly, know we have joy because of the gospel, because of the resurrection, and that you are loved by the Father. Verse 27, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world, and again I leave the world and go to the Father. It was because he loved you and the disciples beforehand that the Father sent Jesus into the world, his only begotten Son, to live and to die and to rise again. And that loving, redemptive work of God has caused us to love Jesus in return and believe in him. And as a result of this love for Jesus, the Father loves us all the more, which causes us to love him all the more, and he loves us all the more, and it's a continual cycle that goes on and better and leads to more and more love. The fact that you have believed the gospel and loved Jesus testifies to the reality that the Father has always loved you, loves you even now, that you are not God's enemy. You are not someone with whom the Father begrudgingly has to save because you believed in Jesus. No, the Father loves you. You are not someone who is overlooked in your affliction by a disinterested and uninvolved deity. But because you have believed in and loved Jesus, you can be assured that he was sent into the world and lived and died for you, and that you are loved by the Father. What a blessing this can be for us. Whenever it seems like perhaps we don't have love from anybody. I don't know if you feel that way or not. I hope you don't. I hope our church shows love enough to you, but we fail. But even though that might happen, know that the Father loves you. And in your sorrow, you are loved by the Father, so find joy. Fourthly and finally, you can find joy because of the gospel and in the reality that Jesus has overcome the world. Verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus knows the disciples are about to face great tribulation. They're going to see their Savior killed, tortured and killed. They themselves are going to run in fear for threat of the same thing. Even after Jesus is raised from the dead, they will still experience great tribulation in this life, don't they? We read about the many persecutions they experience in the book of Acts, that Paul experiences. And even Paul speaks in Romans that the sufferings we experience in this life cause us to groan along with the rest of the creation. Tribulation is a reality that you and I experience right now. But Jesus says, take heart, I have overcome the world. What would it have been for the disciples to see the resurrected Jesus? All of the promises that he has made, all of the truths that he had spoken, confirmed, validated with Jesus standing there alive from the dead. Yes, the world might wage war against Jesus, but if death can't stop him, what will? The world may wage war against you, but if death can't stop Jesus, and Jesus has promised that you will have victory, what will stop you? Nothing. You will have victory in Jesus Christ, but what's more? Jesus' resurrection from the dead showed that he did put death to death. He defeated death, that enemy. But he also showed that he eliminated the sins which bound the apostles, bound the disciples, and bound you and me to Satan. The penalty of our sins have been destroyed. Jesus has overcome the world and its power. Because of the gospel, your sins have been forgiven. Because of the gospel, you will have and do have eternal life. Because of the gospel, you will stand in glory with Jesus Christ. The world and its power is overcome. Is it any wonder why Paul could say, I can't count the sufferings of this world to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us? Jesus has overcome, and you will too. No matter what it is you're facing in this life, it is present, it is temporary. But glory is eternal in Jesus Christ. Find joy in that. Apart from Christ, there is no hope of any of this. There is no hope of victory over judgment and death. There is no hope of being loved by the Father. In fact, you're an enemy of the Father without Christ. No hope of access to the Father in prayer. Alone, apart, and without God in the world, apart from Jesus. And you will never see his loving face, but only the face of the wrath of the Lamb. But in Jesus Christ, because of his death and resurrection, because of your faith in him, you can have joy in your sorrow. So seek joy in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would grant us that joy. As we come to you directly now in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask for that joy to be present in our lives. Lord, by your Spirit, redirect our minds. Transform us by the renewing of our mind, that we would focus on the truths and realities of the gospel. You would impress upon us the great joy it is to be saved by you. That our present sorrows would be so far out of our minds that we would only focus on you. We ask these things for your glory and for our good and joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's respond by standing and singing Psalm 116, Selection A, of the great joy and deliverance we have in Christ.